The London Stock Exchange is in a possible quest to own a venerable stock index. From APM, I'm David Brancaccio via the studios of the BBC in London this week with the Marketplace Midday Update, where there is news today that the London Stock Exchange, down the street here, may be the leading contender to buy Russell Investments of Seattle with a purchase price something near $3 billion, according to the Financial Times. On Tuesdays, we check in with Julie Neiman, the analyst at Smith Moore & Company. Morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
So we know this Russell company. They do those indexes that don't get as much attention as maybe the Dow Jones Industrial Average, right?
It's not an emotional index. This is the one that's used by all of the institutions. They cover over 80 markets. They give you a much better picture of what the markets are actually doing. This is why they're in such demand by institutional investors. The Dow and the S&P, those are distortions due to the small number of stocks that they cover, selection bias. They're selected by committee. That Russell is truly impartial is a much more accurate depiction of what's going on in all the markets.
So it sounds like you actually monitor maybe the Russell 3000 fairly routinely?
Well, those of us who manage portfolios use this impartial index simply because it's a better indicator of how your investments are truly doing. It's a better bogey that you're looking at, too. And when you start looking at the combination of Russell going in with the FTSE International, other indexes globally, this is going to give the London Stock Exchange a very good push into the United States as well. So you're going to see more combinations of these indexes, and that means better information for investors.
And it's notable here that Russell Investments was owned by Northwest Mutual. It might be in the mood to sell this thing.
There's an interesting situation with banks and insurance companies. Every time they make a foray into the financial services area, they tend to get somewhat burned or disappointed here, and they tend to overpay. So they buy it, and then they sell it off. But this is a case of where Russell has been built up so fabulously that they're going to get a very good price for it regardless. But it's not a good fit for a mutual insurance company. It's a much better fit for a financial services outfit like the stock exchange.
Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company, St. Louis. Thank you.
You bet.
Now let's check the markets. Starting with the Brixton Market in South London. It is a fragrant place specializing in African and Caribbean produce. Terry Beek is a trader here. Between he and his father, the family's worked the market for quite a while.
We've been here since, over 60 years. We've always sold fruit and veg. Years ago, it was a beautiful area. Beautiful. It was the first avenue to have electric light. Do you see these irons coming out the side here? All the way along used to be a lovely glass canopy. It's on the way now. But it's an up-and-coming area, trust me.
Switching markets in London, the FT100 stock index is down 0.6%. 23 minutes in trading into trading on Wall Street, the Dow is down 56 points, a third of a percent, to 16,455. The S&P 500 is down 0.3%. The NASDAQ Composite is down 0.4%. That leading light of management theory, Peter Drucker, once figured companies would be wise to pay their CEOs about 20 times the typical salaries at the company. In recent years in the U.S., that ratio has run 350 to 1. This has been noted in the U.S., but here in Britain, complaints about executive compensation have risen to a clamor. As part of our coverage of London as a global financial center this week, let's bring in Deborah Hargreaves, founding director of what's called the High Pay Center here in Britain. Ms. Hargreaves, good morning.
Hello, David.
What is wrong with executives getting paid a lot of money? I heard an American economist saying just this morning that reaction to this is envy.
That's what they all say, of course. But what we're trying to say is that you can make your business and the economy work better if you have narrower pay gaps within companies. You need a little bit of inequality to feel that you're rising up the ladder, that you need to get a pay rise for a promotion. But if you look right to the top and you see your boss earning £4 or 5 million and you think, I'm never going to reach those heights, it's quite demotivating.
And from a British perspective, the pay gap has been getting wider?
It has, yes. It's more than doubled over the last 10 years. And so we now have people running these big companies who are on a pay multiple, 133 times that of their average paid worker. That's average. That's not even bottom.
In the US, our financial reform law called Dodd-Frank starting actually just about 8 months ago, required companies in the U.S. to publish CEO salary as a ratio of typical employee pay. The companies are very upset about this. It took a long time to implement. But we've had it for a few months. It hasn't had much of an effect, as far as I can tell, in the U.S. What about efforts here in Britain?
Well, we argued strongly, actually, that companies should publish their pay ratios, but we haven't been successful. Companies are very resistant to that, mainly because they think it shows just how big that gap is. But we have had some new laws. Shareholders now have a binding vote on pay policy over 3 years. Just yesterday at Standard Chartered, which is a big bank, there was a 41% vote against that policy, and that's binding. Obviously, it's not a majority, but it's a big slap in the face from your shareholders if you're running that bank.
Deborah Hargreaves is a former financial journalist who chaired the Independent High Pay Commission here in the UK. She's founding director of a policy group called the High Pay Centre. Ms. Hargreaves, thank you.
Thank you.
Also, JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon's pay package is up for a vote at the bank's annual meeting today. There's an increase of 74% proposed for that, and some large shareholders are not going to go along with it. That said, the betting is that the raise will be approved. Also, the Brits have apparently solved unemployment, a policy that would employ everybody who wants to work at the stroke of a pen. It's not happening anytime soon, but my blog has the details at marketplace.org. Out of London this week, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.